that the more tables, the more projects you want to run in your data warehouse, the more difficult it will come to keep track of all your transformations that you've set up with your code. That's the point of time where data warehouse automation is beginning to get interesting, I would say.
Hello and welcome to the Data Culture Podcast. I'm Carsten Bange, founder and CEO of Bark, and my guest today is one of my esteemed colleagues, Florian Biegelmeier, and he is an expert analyst at Bark for a lot of data engineering and data management software segments. Today, I want to talk about the data warehouse automation market. Some also call it data automation market because it's not limited to data warehouses. And we think it's actually a quite an interesting segment in the data management software market. We'll talk about what do data automation tools actually do, why are companies using them, especially thinking about what benefits do companies achieve with them. And then we want to give you a market overview. Who is playing there? What are the segments? How can you differentiate the different vendors? We finish off with a look at innovation, what's happening. Where's this whole segment heading? With that, we hope we can give you a comprehensive overview of this interesting and growing market segment. Enjoy the episode. Hi, Florian.
Hi, Carsten.
Thanks for being in my podcast today. And I invited you because you're one of the biggest experts around data warehouse automation. And I think it's a pretty interesting market segment, has been around for a while. And that's why we want to take a closer look today. What is it? What is it about? What problem does it solve? And how is actually the market developing? Let's start with a basic question. What is data automation, data warehouse automation? What do these tools, these software solutions actually do?
Yeah, thank you. So, I mean, the data warehouse, as it already says, is somehow a bit in a metaphor for how you store data, how you use them. And just as a typical warehouse, which you know from different industries out there, you've got goods that are flow in, that are flowing out, like inbound and outbound logistics, I would say. And in a way, that's a good metaphor what data warehouse automation does. You basically first have to design your warehouse, like design and set up your schema, your structure for how you want to save your data. You have to physically build your data warehouse, like the engineering part, setting it up, translating it to a physical model. And in the end, you also want to maintain the schema and the pipelines which you're using, which is kind of a bit different to the physical warehouse then, because in the digital world, we've got the big advantage of making things matter over the time and improving things because it's like not built in with mortar and bricks. Yeah, I think that's like in a nutshell what data warehouse automation is about.
Okay, so you mentioned data modeling. So you basically modeled your target environment where data should be stored for analytical purposes, typically. And you also mentioned the data flow, so how data is coming in. And I think that's the second very important part here. Another, I think, question that comes immediately to mind is data warehouses. That's a concept from the 1990s. So, and today, there are some companies that are building data warehouses, but typically today it's the lakehouse. And in between, it was the data lake that companies built. So is it an outdated technology? You can just use it for data warehouses, or is it still something you can also use in a modern environment?
So first of all, I would say that the challenge to maintain, to store, to make your data available is still there for structured data, as well as maybe now even more for unstructured data. So the short answer for that would be absolutely not. Like the technology, because the problem is still there, the technology is still super relevant. And if you have a look now in which technologies data lakehouses speaks, you often use SQL. So you still have like the classic technology, which has been around for decades already, even longer than myself, to be honest, that runs like the data environment, the data domain still these days. And so I would say it's pretty much a topic that we should talk about in 2025.
Absolutely. And what comes to my mind is that the current paradigm typically is to talk about this medallion architecture, like bronze, silver, gold. But if you compare that to a layered data warehouse architecture, you see lots and lots of similarities. Yeah. So I think that also speaks to the fact that some basic ideas that do not change, yeah, basically bringing data together for analytical purposes, and often you have to model it or remodel it to be really appropriate for the analytical tasks that you have. You also mentioned data flows or data pipelines. So what exactly do these tools here now? Because, I mean, there's a big market segment of data integration tools like Informatica, Qlik, and many, many more. So is there a difference? Do they do the same thing?
Well, I think they have a big overlap, to be honest. But let's look at it maybe a bit more from a process perspective than from a technology perspective. What data warehouse automation does is starting pretty early in the process of running, maintaining your data warehouse, in the phase where you think about how should it look like, in the phase where you have like your raw source data available on the one hand, and where you've got the requirements from your data analysts, business analysts, people from finance and controlling on the other hand. And just as you said, you've got these different medallions or stages in your data warehouse, and you try to bring together the both sides, basically the raw source data on the one hand and the requirements on the other hand, step by step. So you've got different layers and these transformations in between that help you to get from one layer to the other, basically. And in that sense, the modeling is kind of one of the first steps that you have to approach, where those data warehouse automation vendors and the segment is especially strong in. And then you've got to set up like your schema and your transformation. And that's where ETL vendors, data integration suites, but also data replication software, then if you talk about bringing in the raw source data especially, get also, again, interesting. So I think it's a bit of a scope question. And also on the other hand, if you look like what happens once you integrated the data, you have to talk about, can I get my data into data catalog? Can I do like, or how does my maintenance process look like? How does documentation look like? That's also something that usually data warehouse automation software is, tends to be a bit stronger.
Yeah, I think what you just mentioned speaks to the fact that they are very metadata driven. Yeah, so they are really thinking about the definition of a target model of a data flow. And I also see some vendors that don't even execute. Yeah. So they say, no, we define what's being done here. And for the execution, we could use an ETL engine on the data integration engine. But we want to manage actually the metadata. We want to manage what's happening. Which leads me to the question. So now I think we roughly understood what these tools do. But the maybe more important question is, what problem do they actually solve? So where is the business value for a company? Why are they spending money on these tools?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not just a license cost. Just as you said, you also invest a lot in the modeling, in also setting up all that metadata. It's a lot of investment. That's completely right. I would basically say that there are three items that I would like to mention in that regard. The first one is you could cut manual engineering effort. And I think that's super relevant these days because the headcounts are rather shrinking than increasing when you talk about data engineers. On the one hand, because of budgets. On the other hand, because of the resource availability is simple. And on the other hand, you want to do much more with those limited resources. So I think that's an important point. You are simply faster on the long run.
Can I interrupt? Sorry. But let's look at that. I recently met a data warehouse automation vendor that said out of their experiences with customers, they can cut this overall time in modeling, testing, repeat iterative processes. They can cut this whole time by 80%. Do you think that's reasonable or is it a marketing exaggeration?
Maybe something between the poles. But I would say that the long-term effects are indeed really outstanding of those tools. Because if you also have a look into the things that are yet to come in the next few years, if we talk about AI-ready data, then all that metadata that you collect, create, is super relevant for making your data available for agents and also for chatbots. So I don't know if it's really 80%, maybe in some specific projects, but it's definitely a saving effort.
It's significant, yeah. So that was the first point you wanted to mention. Basically, be more efficient, yeah, cut the development time. What else? What other benefits do you see?
Yeah, the second point basically is that from time to time, companies decide to switch their data warehouse, their underlying data warehouse, either because the costs are too high or because they want to have new features or they want to go to the cloud or back from the cloud to on-premises. And in any of those cases, it's a lot to do to set up the structure again, both like the schema and the transformations, the flows, data flows on your new infrastructure. And if you do it like in data warehouse automation and you do that metadata driven, you're much faster in your migration project, which in the end will save you a lot of money.
Yeah, I can completely see that point. It's basically also a question of, in a way, independence, yeah, from certain technologies. My impression is actually that these innovation cycles, maybe let's call it that way, are getting shorter. Yeah? So if you look at maybe, the 1990s, 2000s, I think if a company decided for a technology for their data warehouse platform, I saw them sticking with that often 10 years, 15 years. Yeah. So, I mean, the dominant players at that time were Oracle, or in the high end was Teradata, IBM and Microsoft. So basically the relational database vendors, SAP, BW, but I think they were pretty stable. But now I do see a higher tendency to switch platforms more often because you want to basically catch up with the latest innovation. Yeah? And we see that lots of companies move to the cloud hyperscalers for their data warehouses. Many move to Snowflake, but even Snowflake customers that are maybe with the platform for five years, some are thinking about moving to Databricks, yeah, which is basically the new kid on the block. And so you could think that this the stickiness of the data platforms, yeah, gets a bit smaller, which then increases the importance, yeah, on being independent of the platform and not having to redevelop everything. If you decide, well, the next big platform is something I should do, but then you cannot really migrate because the costs are prohibitive. So I would agree that's an important point, and I think a super high or super interesting value proposition.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, the idea of being kind of ready for multi-cloud environments where you can, like, in terms of weeks, put one project to another environment because you just feel like that's the better choice now. I think that's definitely shows pretty well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So all this flexibility and independence topics with the discussion around digital sovereignty, data sovereignty, yeah, become more important. And the question to how much control do I have? And I want to be less dependent on single vendors. Yeah, but if you know what effort it is to model a data warehouse and to model all the data flows that go in there, then it's really typically is prohibitive to change the platform. Yeah. But if you have it only a metadata in an automation tool, I think then, yeah, it's actually quite easy to change because basically you just say, okay, I need a new target system. And then the system generates scripts. By the way, we didn't really explain how it works. Yeah. We should maybe mention that. I just mentioned scripts. So maybe give us before we go to the third point you wanted to mention, maybe a quick intro. How do they actually work? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it depends a bit in which kind of deepness we want to get there. But I think that the process, which I've tried to draw in the beginning, explains pretty well what happens in the background. So first of all, you start usually with a kind of a business model of what you want to achieve, a simple data model that explains which entities you've got and how they relate to each other and which attributes they have. And then you translate that basically to a physical model, which would be then one level deeper, a bit more technical, that explains like how do you set that up in terms of cardinalities and in terms of tables, etc. And the next step would then basically be to push that model to like or to create the code that creates the tables for those models. And once you've got that, you obviously want to create the data flows between those stages. And those stages or those data flows are basically transformations. So in many cases, there's again SQL code or stored procedures. Or in newer days, in the lakehouse environment, you might be also want to use Spark code, which again can run with Python or SQL or Scala, and those transformations then basically make it possible to take your data from the first stage, transform them, prepare them, aggregate them, whatever you want to do, and save them in the next stage. Once you've done that, you can, or you should, document obviously also what you've done to make it easier for your colleagues or for people in business also to understand what you actually created there. What is like behind a column, what does that column mean? How is it generated? What could be basically go wrong maybe when in the calculation of a metric or so? I think that's also a super critical part. And yeah, that happens also sometimes in those tools.
Yeah. So you could say data warehouse automation is like an abstraction layer. Yeah? You define the model, you define the data flows, but you separate it from the actual physical implementation in the system. And that's why we have this independence. Yeah. Because then you can say, okay, instantiate it on system X, but you can also say, well, now I want to have this model and these data flows on system Y. Thanks for explaining that. You also mentioned next to efficiency gains and independence, you said you wanted to highlight three benefits. What's the third one?
Yeah, I think the last one would be to talk a bit about risk and governance. So more and more companies really rely on their analytical data, where it was in the beginning a bit more of, yeah, a new way of finding insights, of improving your company. It gets more and more critical, or the data warehouse in total gets more and more critical for business operations. And that's why more and more companies think about how can we make that a bit more less risk sensitive, basically, or less risky in the operations. And what happens in the background is basically that you have, through all that metadata that we mentioned quite some times already now, you have the option to trace back what happened. You've got the option to have a much higher auditability in when did which kind of change occur, both in modeling, because you usually do version control, but also in terms of when did which pipeline run and which value did change at which point of time. So all those kinds of things are much easier if you model on this kind of metadata layer first and have a great value to reduce your risks.
And actually, I think that ties even in with the first point, more efficiency, because we all know that the actual big problem is not building a data lakehouse or data warehouse. The problem is running it, because there are so many changes happening all the time. And even the rate of change, we can see that is increasing. Yeah? So there's more and more changing. And if you would now, the question is, what's the alternative? Yeah, let's imagine I've built my data warehouse, yeah, with basically manual design of the model, designing the data flows using scripts. Yeah, what would happen then? Yeah, basically the effort is way higher to implement any changes, or is that a wrong view?
No, I think that's actually exactly what the risk would be. If you either work with tools that produce proprietary kind of ways of saving configurations, you always have the risk of a lock-in. You always have the risk of how can I maintain it? And also the question of how can I move to another platform, just as we said before, is super difficult, because then you have to adapt a few things, because obviously platform A does work a bit different than platform B. Is a lot harder if you work with tools that kind of have logic in a capsule, which you can see so strictly. And on the other hand, scripting right away, that can work actually in simple projects, I would say. So if you take your time modeling things, maybe with a modeling tool or also the whiteboard, things can work out to a different or to a certain stage of complexity, which means organizational and technical complexity. So the more people you get, or the more tables, the more projects you want to run in the data warehouse, the more difficult it will come to keep track of all your transformations that you've set up with your code. That's the point of time where data warehouse automation is beginning to get interesting, I would say.
Okay, interesting. Maybe you could characterize the market for us a little bit. So how do the vendors that are present differentiate? Do you see certain segments? Maybe help us to understand the market a little bit better.
I would start on a very high level and then it's like dive a bit deeper. So if we look at the data integration market as a total, then we can see that there are big suites out there. I mean, vendors, I just give some names that makes it a bit easier, I would say. Vendors like Informatica, like vendors like Boomi, are also Talent, which is now part of Qlik. They have such a breadth of data integration and also data management tools. They are definitely one important pillar here. And the advantage of that category is basically to have everything in one place. Which makes it for some companies easier in terms of licensing and also onboarding your experts on that tools, etc. The second category would be a bit more, hard to describe. I would call them like data integration specialists in a way, where I would put all those data replication, data integration specialists in there that either do the extraction and loading of data pretty well, or the transformation pretty well, or maybe like a combination out of these two, change data capture tools, for example, or ETL tools, which we still have in the market, which are quite successful. And then as a third category, which has like a lot of overlap with the second one, which I mentioned before, is like this data warehouse automation segment, which has like functional overlaps, but again, the process differs a little bit. And what's quite interesting is that this third segment is by far the smallest in a way. So if you look on market numbers.
Yeah, we recently looked at that for an investor in the space. And we estimate the size of the market of being around $500 million. So it's a market, but for sure, compared to other software segments in the data and analytics space, it's pretty small. Maybe just for comparison, the estimation for the data integration software market overall is somewhere between $5 and $6 billion. Yeah, so it's maybe a tenth or maybe even less. So it's a small market, but we also looked at the market in quite some detail and looked at all the major vendors, and we could actually observe a growth rate of 25%. And that is significant. I mean, especially in these more harder times overall, that's actually quite an achievement. So you could say it's a small segment, has been around for quite a while, so it didn't grow massively, but it still has some good growth rates, which speaks to the fact that I think more and more companies are still, in a way, discovering the benefits that these types of tools can bring. Now, let's focus on this segment that you pointed out, where you say, okay, some of the functionality can be or will be handled by the data integration platforms or some specialists, but now we have the data warehouse automation specialists. Let's drill one level deeper. How do they separate? What segments can you see there?
Yeah, I mean, just time-wise, it's pretty interesting to have a look on those vendors. So there is like a new generation, which came up the last 3, 4, maybe 5 years of vendors, which are cloud native, I would say. So they came up with the rise of Snowflake and maybe also Databricks, which is pretty interesting because they are in many cases also cloud agnostic, which we said before. You can shift your workloads between the different clouds. You've got the opportunity to use those tools in many cases as a software as a service option only, which differs a lot of what has been in the market before, right? As you said, the segment has a lot of history, and obviously the company started with on-premises solutions, which were then targeted in many cases to like specific software vendors. There were experts for Teradata, experts for Microsoft, SQL Server in many cases, and so on. Maybe also for Oracle. So that is one difference, and obviously the two categories are closing up to each other. The ones on premises originally, I have now also containerized versions on cloud, or also SaaS versions on cloud. And the SaaS versions, obviously, these days more and more also support like on premises data warehouses. So they're closing up to each other.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense. So it's more technology or technological separation from functionality. I mean, it appears that data vault modeling had an impact on this market because, I mean, there are vendors like Vault Speed or a Data Vault Builder. How's that playing out? Are there like vendors for specific modeling techniques?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Data Vault already. I think that's one very important kind of technique in that market. So either you support it, or you are like completely, how would you say that? Yep, closed in on Data Vault, maybe even. So some vendors say they completely focus on Data Vault, which obviously has the advantage that you can speed things even more up, because once you have like your business model in place, creating the physical model is so much easier, because out of your entities, you simply create all your hubs, links, and satellites. That's a pretty straightforward way of automating things, pretty rule-based, which is interesting. On the other hand, obviously, you've got those that are either not that strict, that allow, we can do both. We can do Data Vault for your silver layer, for your core data warehouse, and for your gold layer, or for the data marts, we offer maybe a Snowflake or star schema, which then is a bit more easy to use for your data analysts that are used to that, working with dimensions at all.
Okay, so let's talk about some vendors here. So the oldest vendor I know of is Warescape. I think it's still the market leader in terms of revenue, if you look at it. Has been around for quite a while. I saw the rise of Warescape often in conjunction with Teradata, because that was a data platform in itself. Yeah, it didn't offer tooling around it, meaning no data integration tools, etc. So it always was run in an ecosystem, and Warescape was then often used data, or still is in a way, an often used data automation vendor here. But who else is playing? Who else do you see in that market?
Yeah, in the same size, I would say there is also Coalesc, which is like one of the vendors that came up with Snowflake, etc., as I said before. In terms of company size, they're even bigger these days, but they also have like a data catalog tool as part of their portfolio. So I would say roughly same size and Warescape. And what's pretty interesting then is that the market is almost dominated by European vendors. Kind of surprise for us tech analysts, as we used to see a lot of American vendors in our markets usually. There are companies, especially from Nordics, from Finland, and from Denmark, and also, I mean, not Nordics in the close sense, but also Netherlands is a hub for Data Vault, especially. Pretty interesting to see that. Just naming some of them would be in the Netherlands, Vault Speed. Also in Belgium, there is Defacto. Then we've got in Denmark, we've got Time Extender, and in Finland, there are so many. I don't forget any. There is, for example, Agile Data Engine. There is also a lot more. Do you remember any more from Finland? Maybe.
LEII maybe, But I was, anecdote here, I was attending the Helsinki Data Week, the first edition of Helsinki Data Week last year. It was really amazing. It's a big community of data engineers. Yeah? And so I think I see a lot of data modeling, data engineering, or people that are really knowledgeable in Finland. I don't know why, but it seems to be a hotspot for that. Should also maybe mention some Central European vendors. Yeah, for me, what comes to mind is for Germany and Switzerland, for example, it's Analytics Creator, it's BI Genius, it's Data Vault Builder. Who else did I forget?
Yeah, there are still a few we definitely still should mention. So I would say that as we just talked about German vendors, there is CrossNative out there, a vendor which combines consulting pretty well with the product. We've got the huge vendor Qlik out there, who has like a lot of data integration solutions, but also a data warehouse automation tool. And we've got a sub-written ZAP out there. They also have a data warehouse automation tool. And as I mentioned, quite a lot of vendors before offer data integration, data warehouse automation. I think one name should definitely be part of that webinar. It's called DBT. I mean, everyone knows it. And I think they are doing also a pretty good job in getting close to what data warehouse automation vendors have done in the past. So they are integrating views for business users. They're integrating more and more lineage and metadata information. They're integrating more and more tools for AI. So I think they're speeding up, and it's a interesting vendor to watch these days.
Excellent. So thanks for this overview. Let's finish off with a look into the future. Where do you see innovation? What's new? What's happening?
We've got obviously to start with AI, right? AI is all around the corner. And I think it's super interesting to see how AI is impacting data management. So I would expect that in the next 12 to 24 months, we can see definitely that copilots help more and more to automate even more steps to help you in the details where you maybe needed before then. Custom scripts, because not everything is automated so far, even on those automation tools. Documentation could be definitely profit or benefit from AI, Gen AI. And also, generally speaking, in data management, I expect that generating pipelines and everything that is code related will be definitely one of the easy use cases, or the ones that are early tackled when we talk about copilots.
Yeah, absolutely. Florian, thanks so much. So obviously AI is also influencing this segment, and let's see how this develops. If anyone wants to learn more about the segment, what do you recommend?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a nice webinar coming up on November 25 this year. We will talk about how this specific segment deals with all those topics, but we will also dive deeper into how the neighboring segments work and where exactly the differentiators are. We will definitely show something of our insights, but we will also bring some vendors that show their solutions. So I think it's a nice mix to see. We've got a good blog on our website, which you can definitely also put, I think, in the show notes. And there is always a lot of research coming up from our Bark side. The next one will be, you've got to wait a bit more for that, but our data management, or in that sense, the data fabric server, which comes up in January next year or Q1 next year, which has some nice insights.
Absolutely. And if you want to look at the last data intelligence survey, or we actually ran a webinar in springtime of this year, then that's available to Bark Plus customers. So our subscribers, they have access to all this great content. Thanks, Florian. All the best to you, and hope to see you soon again.
Thank you, Carsten. Bye.